Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Time for our first guest, former sports agent and an NFL contracts and salary cap expert and writer. You can read his work at CBSSports.com and also National Football Post. Follow him on Twitter, Corey Joel, CORRYJOEL. It's Joel Corey, and today is the NFL trade deadline, so perfect timing. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Good morning to you guys as well.
Thank you very much for joining us. Before we get into the trade deadline and everything, that all the rumors swirling around the NFL right now, any thoughts, any takeaways from the Chiefs and the Broncos and what you saw last night on Monday Night Football?
Oh, wasn't Alex Smith's best game, but the defense had something to do with that. Looks like the division, which I thought was going to be the toughest in the NFL, isn't holding up to that standard, and Kansas City should be in a position when it's all said and done to possibly have home field advantage through the playoffs.
You know, that is the hope here, even though the Chiefs have had their issues at Arrowhead Stadium in the playoffs, that shouldn't stop you from wanting to have that opportunity to host more playoff games here. But right now, the Steelers and the Patriots are also 6-2. The Chiefs beat the Patriots. They lost to the Steelers. Now, the Patriots will play the Steelers later on in Pittsburgh this year. But so of those three teams, do you think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC?
Well, it's hard to argue with that. They knocked off the defending Super Bowl champions to open the season. They've given the Eagles their one loss of the year. So if you want to say the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, I'm not going to argue with that.
No, I think it's very interesting right now, the trade deadline. And look, this isn't like baseball. You're not going to see this, you know, or the NBA, these wild flurry of trades. But there have been more trades, it seems like, this year, leading up to the trade deadline than in years past. And I was listening to some other people talk about this earlier on another show, and they chalked it up to, you know, there's more teams that feel like they're alive. It's kind of wide open after the three teams we mentioned, the AFC. The NFC's wide open. There's a couple of teams that are totally rebuilding for next year. And so there's more teams that think that they can pick up a player and maybe make a run in the playoffs. And also there's a group of young, aggressive GMs that aren't afraid to make deals. Do you buy into that? Is there any reason why we're seeing maybe some more action and could see some more action today before the trade deadline?
Oh, yeah, definitely buy into that. You had a lot more action at the roster cutdown trade-wise than you ever had in previous years. And the fact that heading into this past week's action, you had 25 teams between 3 and 5 wins, that means there are going to be more teams that were going to be a little more aggressive in terms of seeking to improve their club. You usually don't have much of anything happening at the trading deadline. Up until yesterday, you only had one second-round pick move in the days leading up to the trading deadline since the 2011 lockout ended, and that was the Carson Palmer trade to Oakland, with the second-round pick going to New England, the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. That's something that's different, and you usually don't see the caliber of players moving, like a All-Pro or Pro Bowl-type caliber player in Marcell Dareus when he's living up to his potential get traded in a fire sale at the trading deadline.
So from the Chiefs' perspective, you know, we've seen reports and rumors that they might be interested in trying to acquire a player or two in this trade deadline window, but the salary cap always comes into play here, Joel, and I think most of the reports we've read have been that the Chiefs don't necessarily have a lot of wiggle room in their cap. How does their cap situation affect whether or not they'd be able to go out and pull off a deal on this last day?
Oh, yeah, it definitely affects it, because you have to have the cap room to absorb whatever contract you're getting for the player in the trade. Chiefs have slightly over $3.5 million in cap room, so that limits the options. One guy I've identified that I think the Chiefs should kick the tires on is Eric Reed in San Francisco, because of the loss of Eric Berry.
Mm-hmm.
You just had Steven Nelson come back, so cornerback could have been a need as well, but I guess the hope would be that he's going to solidify that now that he's off of IR. There's about $3 million of salary left for Reed's fifth-year option. One way it could work is if San Francisco did like a couple of teams have done in the past, which is convert a portion of that salary into signing bonus pre-trade. So that lessens the amount of salary that the Chiefs would take back. I know the Chiefs have already traded away their first for next year in the Mahomes deal. The fifth went to Cleveland to get Cameron Irving. So it would be a move which is to try to win now, but it may have to take your fourth-round pick, particularly if San Francisco's eating salary. Eric Reed doesn't seem to fit in their plans. They've moved him to a weak side linebacker. He's played free safety, strong safety, so I think, at least to me, that could be a good fit for Kansas City for the rest of the year.
That actually is exactly what I was telling Stephen earlier on the show, is that without Eric Berry, you know, yesterday, the Chiefs gave up a lot of running yards when they had to go to their nickel package, and Daniel Sorensen has to come up and try to be that run plugger at the safety kind of hybrid linebacker position. It sounds like Eric Reed would be the perfect kind of guy for it. You think a fourth round pick would get it done? Would the 49ers be willing to make a move for a pick that late in the draft?
Well, a fourth is not that late. That's a mid round pick, and typically you're not getting high picks in these trading deadline deals, because Marcell Dareus going for a fifth. A sixth, I think it could be a fifth. That kind of shows you where these trading deadline deals go. Jamie Collins went for what was a compensatory third last year. So a fourth, to me, seems appropriate.
So let's, if you would, tell us a little bit about the salary cap situation for the Kansas City Chiefs. If they were to make a trade, how much flexibility do they have right now?
Not much. If you wanted to take on the $3 million and change of Reed's salary, that would leave you pretty tight. You'd have roughly $500,000-$600,000 left to cap room, which in case of an injury or two would be tight. That's why the only way this could happen is if San Francisco eats some of the salary in a pre-trade salary conversion, where they turn maybe $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million into signing bonus. And for them to do that, that is why I think it would have to be a fourth round pick as opposed to a fifth. That would be the only way to go. Because in the trade for Dwayne Brown from Houston to Seattle, I know Jeremy Lane's coming back as a part of that, and a second and a fifth is the compensation. Seattle has about $1.5 million of cap room, so they're going to have to do the same thing, which is something similar, a related concept. They're going to have someone on Seattle restructure a contract to create cap room to accommodate Dwayne Brown. That would be the other option, which is Justin Houston or someone like that, since he's got a high cap number, convert some of his salary into signing bonus, create cap room. It would have to be either San Fran eating salary or somebody does a salary conversion. If you're going to have enough of a cushion to get through the season if you try to acquire Eric Reed.
And so you mentioned this Dwayne Brown trade. Russell Wilson has to be celebrating about acquiring that left tackle for the Seahawks. And also, we found out during the game last night that Jimmy Garoppolo goes from the Patriots to the 49ers, and there have been so many rumors about him getting traded. He finally gets traded for a second-round pick. What was your reaction to either of those deals?
One, I'm surprised that Seattle made a trade for a good offensive lineman, since they seem to be allergic to finding offensive linemen in conventional manners. Should have gotten Joe Thomas 2 years ago. I've been saying that forever, so at least I guess it's better late than never. Brown wanted a new contract from Houston. It'll be interesting to see if they do something with him in terms of extending him. That probably wouldn't go over well in that locker room. This is a team that doesn't do things typically with 2 years left, and you do something for an outsider, you don't do for insiders. You think Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas aren't going to take exception to that, no matter how happy they are to have someone to anchor the offensive line. Now on to Garoppolo. It's interesting that they have gotten rid of their third-string quarterback in a trade, now their second-string quarterback. They're going all in on Tom Brady. And his ability to defy Father Time. I'm assuming Brian Hoyer is going to be the new backup. I hope San Francisco has already worked out parameters of a new deal in getting Garoppolo, because if he comes in and plays well, that increases his leverage, and they'd have to stick a franchise tag on him without a new deal, which is going to be in the $23 to $24 million neighborhood.
And see, the timing of this deal, and I was going to ask you about that, you're right. You know, they're all in on Tom Brady, and I think Hoyer will be the backup in New England. But in trading Garoppolo for a second-round pick now, was this that the Patriots tried everything they could to sign him to a long-term deal, and it was going to cost too much money, it wasn't going to make sense, and so they got what they could for him, and now, like you said, the 49ers, they're going to have to make a decision pretty quick, or they'll have to franchise him, and so what looked like they just gave away a second-round pick. Was this about what Garoppolo was asking for, and the Patriots just didn't want to give it to him?
Yeah, that probably factored in the equation, because for Belichick to have his cake and eat it too, he was going to need Garoppolo to play along with a succession plan where they paid him well to back up. But after being a backup his whole career, at some point you want to start. So I can understand why that wasn't going to work in there. He's got the same agent as Brady, coincidentally. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they have a deal in place soon, or we see an announcement in the next week or so about a Garoppolo deal, because I wouldn't want to make that trade without knowing the contract parameters. And I'm just curious. I know Brady's humming along. Looks like he's going to defy father time, but nobody's played at a high level at 41 for a reason. Mm-hmm. Remember, Peyton Manning was humming along, played the Rams, and was never the same after that. Brett Favre looked great at 40, 41, the wheels came off. So I'm assuming New England's going to draft someone to be the potential replacement. And I guess San Francisco really didn't like any of these quarterbacks that are going to be in the draft, because that pick's going to be probably first, second, or third in the second round. Or didn't think they had a good shot at Kirk Cousins, who I thought was going to be their quarterback in 2018 and beyond.
So you were an agent. You represented players. If you are Garoppolo's agent right now, how are you dealing with this? How quickly are you trying to talk to San Francisco about an extension to try to figure out their plans? Because this is obviously going to be an interesting decision for the 49ers based on what he does, I guess, in the second half of the year.
Well, if I'm the agent, I'm basing on the franchise tag numbers, what the deal is, which would be a ridiculous amount of money for a guy who has played six quarters of football, so you really don't know if he could play or not. He, for all we know, those six quarters were an anomaly. Or he could be what everyone thinks he could be. You just don't know. But that's where I would start if I'm the agent. It's got to be something for me to seriously consider it, which is an increase or an improvement over the general Brock Osweiler deal, where he got $37 million over the first 2 years. At a very minimum, I'm going to want basically the equivalent of the franchise tag in new cash in the first year, since I would be saying we were going to get franchised in New England if we stayed there. That's what I'd be posturing, even though that may not be the case. But, yeah, if he goes out and plays well, then this could be a mini Kirk Cousins situation in terms of the leverage. But it's going to be hard to play well learning a new offense on the fly with limited weapons for Garoppolo in San Francisco.
We're visiting with Joel Corey. He's a fantastic follow on Twitter. His Twitter handle is Corey Joel. That's CorryJoel. And I want to shift gears here for a second to the Chiefs' next game, Joel, because they take on the Dallas Cowboys. We've already covered that the Chiefs' running defense, their rush defense, is very poor. And the news came out last night that the judge has denied Ezekiel Elliott's latest injunction. I was in the stands when that news came across, and we all started debating. I feel like this story, he's going to be suspended. The suspension's upheld. Then there is some sort of legal proceeding that then puts the suspension on hold. Can there be any more, or is this final, and he will absolutely be suspended for this Chiefs game coming up this weekend?
Oh, not quite final. I'm sure he's going to try to get a stay or an injunction or something to delay the extension going through Court of Appeals. What we saw in this particular decision is that the judge and judges in general give great deference to what's in a collective bargaining agreement because it was an arm's length transaction between the NFL and the NFLPA. So I don't anticipate that you're going to have to face Ezekiel Elliott this upcoming week, which makes it a whole lot easier to get another victory because Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden aren't any remotely close to what Elliott brings to the table.
All right, Joel, thank you very much. The time should be a very interesting afternoon in the NFL, and we'll have all our listeners follow you. Corey Joel is his handle. Joel, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
That is Joel Corey, former agent and currently NFL contracts and salary cap expert. You can follow him on Twitter, Corey Joel, and also read his articles at National Football Post and CBSSports.com. So, again, do you think the Chiefs will make a deal before the 3 o'clock trade deadline today?
If I had to bet on it, I would say no.
Why do you always want to bet on everything?
Because I'm a swashbuckler.
Wow.
I love the idea of Eric Reed. That's exactly the kind of guy that I was stating earlier that I think the Chiefs need. Somebody who's a little more stout against the run at that safety position, glorified linebacker. That's what Eric Berry did that I think they really miss right now. And according to Joel Corey, he thinks they could fit it in the cap. And he could be basically kind of a rent-a player for the Chiefs for the rest of the year. I would love a trade like that.
They can get somebody to rework something. You got veterans on there that want to get to the Super Bowl. Make it happen. Make it happen, Kansas City. Make some deals.
I'm okay with trading away some draft picks. I realize that you're going to pay for it down the road, but...
Draft picks. Shraft picks. I don't know.
Okay.
What, Jake?
All right.
What are you going to... Come on, say something.
Just slide that in there. Veterans wanting to go to the Super Bowl. Just slide
it in there. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
It's awesome.
They want to go to the Super Bowl.
I know!
And Tom Brady would take a pick up. And has.
Mm-hmm. Chiefs just need to slide these guys a little under into the table like the Pats are doing.
Just open up Cayman account for him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's wrong with sliding stuff under the table?
Nothing.
Being what it is.
I like sliding under the table.
And back after this on WHB.